It's not unusual as a family mediator to hold mediations that could be characterized as high conflict. Many factors contribute to high conflict situations, and different interventions may be needed depending on the contributing factors. Mediation is never a one-size-fits-all. One case of high conflict mediation involved clients who were working through a complete parenting plan. One of the parents had sustained a brain injury, resulting in a significant change of behavior and frequent anger outbursts. The parties were unable to work through a parenting plan on their own and were looking for support as they navigated their journey with the increased stress of the brain injury. These parents were working through a new relationship on two levels. The brain injury had changed the personality and behavior of one of them to the extent that it was almost like they were exploring and navigating a relationship with someone they were just getting to know, while at the same time negotiating a new co-parenting relationship. They were both deeply committed to their children and supported the other parent's involvement in parenting. This was a huge factor in their motivation to work through the challenges they encountered on their journey. I would often remind them of this throughout the time they were in mediation to refocus them on their common goals and objectives. Early strategies for the mediations included allowing lots of time to familiarize the parties with the space we were meeting in, the process of the mediation itself, and with me. While this is important in every mediation, to someone who has a brain injury, the new environment and unknown process brings a whole new level of stress and potential for shutting down or becoming overstimulated. Creating a safe space and safe relationship with the mediator was critical. It was critical to the other parent as well. That parent needed to know the environment was safe to be in and that the mediator could be trusted as a third-party neutral. In this and other high-conflict mediations I am involved in, I often do a self-check to see if I am maintaining neutrality in the mediation. When one party is perceived as contributing more to increasing the conflict, it can be easy to become biased and lose neutrality. In this case, I found it valuable to remind myself that this person's behavior was not as a result of any choices they were making, and in fact, they were living with new daily self-discovery. My client would sometimes have unpredictable outbursts of agitation and anger. Sometimes, when I met with each party individually prior to the joint mediation session, the parent with the brain injury presented as fatigued or stressed, or just more out of sorts. On those days, I kept the mediations very brief and sometimes even canceled the joint sessions. If we proceeded with the mediations on those days, they tended to be less productive and more fraught with conflict. Although it was tempting to push through on those days, I generally found it wasn't worth the increased conflict that seemed to result. Sometimes my client would have an outburst of anger unexpectedly in the middle of a productive mediation. It was sometimes effective during those times to redirect them to something that allowed their brain to shift away from the high emotion to be able to reason again. Things like asking them to write down what they were trying to say or to draw their thoughts on the whiteboard. If that didn't work as a means to diffuse the anger, we would take a brief break or end the session. It was always important to check on both parties during these times. The parent without the brain injury needed to know that they were always safe in the mediation, and I needed to be constantly checking on their safety and well-being, both physically and emotionally as well. I met with this couple in mediation over a period of several months. Some sessions were close together, and other sessions were a few months apart. There were ebbs and flows to both their conflict and the success of their agreements during this time. Because of the nature of the brain injury and the impact on this parent, any agreements they made around the care of their children needed to take the safety of the children into account. The ethic of do no harm, in this case, included ensuring the parents had agreements that provided for the children's safety in the care of either parent. The key pieces to managing this high conflict mediation were time, knowing whether to proceed or not, checking for mediator bias regularly, and ensuring as the mediator that I was rested, alert, and able to focus my full attention on the small details that might be clues to potential changes in behavior and managing those. Finally, safety was key for both the parties and their children in all aspects of the mediation. At the conclusion of the mediation sessions, the parents had successfully completed their parenting plan and all major decisions necessary for their next steps. Was this a perfect mediation? No. But over a long period of time, they became comfortable meeting and making decisions as co-parents.